This is Ozarks at Large for Friday, June 7th, 2013. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Support for Ozarks at Large comes in part from the University of Arkansas's Women's Giving Circle. KUAF is supported by Fayetteville Window Washing, offering both residential and commercial cleaning services, as well as power washing, gutter protection, and more. Information is available on the web at fayettevillewindowwashing.com. Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, today is the date of the Walmart shareholders meeting, and Christina Thomas will provide a report on the event. Also, Leah and the Mojo Doctors stop by the Furman Garner Performance Studio. We have our weekly conversation with Michael Tilley from the City Wire and more. But first, a private nonprofit organization that advocates for the improvement of health care in Arkansas is expressing great concern over proposed changes that could have an effect on Medicare patients. Ray Hanley is president and CEO of the Arkansas Foundation for Medical Care. Hanley says his organization has done Medicare quality improvement work for 30 years, but an initiative by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services could negatively impact Medicare recipients and the foundation's 190 employees who work statewide.
HHS, who administers Medicare, wants to do away with having this work state-based and consolidate this into a handful of regional contracts so that the work that's being done here locally would very likely be done on a phone bank out of Atlanta or Chicago or Dallas, which is not in the interest of healthcare in the state.
Hanley says the overhaul could mean a loss of jobs in Arkansas and make it more difficult for patients to get personalized service from local professionals who understand the providers and the issues. New measures are being considered to support legislation favoring consumers over businesses when it comes to tort reform. The Arkansas Trial Lawyers Association, which recently surveyed more than 600 voters on economic topics, will push for a tort reform ballot initiative that will regulate insurance companies and prevent overcompensation. Executive Director Matt Haas says in an interview with Talk Business Arkansas that results showed a conservative position, but didn't lean in strict Republican or Democratic directions.
I think one thing we found out between our focus grouping and the session that for a long time, tort reform has been an issue tied with the Republican Party. We found out maybe not so much as, it may be Republican, but it's not conservative. The true conservatives understand that protecting the Constitution, this is what our forefathers, when they wrote the Declaration of Independence, part of what they declared independence on was our right to trial by jury. They came to this country to fight for it, and the true conservatives still buy and believe that.
The Arkansas Supreme Court recently struck down provisions of a 10-year-old tort reform law, but Haas says the organization will continue to rally for its own amendment. The former CNL landfill in Fayetteville will soon be cleaned up, as the Arkansas Department of Environmental Quality has issued a request for qualifications to supervise cleanup operations at the site. Catherine Beninati, spokesperson for the ADEQ, says the former landfill has several issues that need addressing.
The landfill out there operated from 72 to 76, and there was also some illegal dumping on the site in the 80s. So right now you have concerns at the site that include ground and surface water contamination. You also have trees growing in the landfill cap. And so we need to have a contractor get out there and clean those things up.
According to documents obtained from the ADEQ, concerns about contamination include heavy metals, volatile and semi-volatile organic compounds, and possible mineral and nutrient contaminations. Once remediation of the site is complete, the 33-acre site is planned to be used as green space as part of a residential development. Though the landfill was closed in the mid-1970s, the cleanup effort will be paid for using money from the Post-Closure Trust Fund, a funding mechanism that came about more than a decade after the landfill closed.
That was established in 1991 under Act 747, and how that works is landfills pay a $1 per ton disposal fee on all of the solid waste that they accept. And once the fund hits $25 million, anything above that is diverted to e-waste recycling grants. But those funds can be used to pay for things such as site assessments and these implementations of the cleanup projects.
Beninati says the cleanup at CNL Landfill will be the first such project to make use of the Post-Closure Trust Fund since the fund was established. According to the U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis, 2012 saw widespread economic growth. According to a release by the Bureau, 49 states and the District of Columbia saw growth of real gross domestic product. The national GDP grew by 2.5%. The leading contributors to the growth were reportedly durable goods manufacturing, finance and insurance, and the wholesale trade sectors. The data released shows that GDP in Arkansas grew by 1.3% for the year. Michael Packow, an economist at the University of Arkansas in Little Rock, noted on his Arkansas Economist blog that of the 50 states and Washington, D.C., Arkansas's growth came in 38th. Sectors leading GDP growth in Arkansas included the enterprise and company management, utilities, and agriculture sectors. Another indictment has fallen in the Brandon Barber case. According to the City Wire, Rogers attorney David Fisher has been indicted by a federal grand jury for allegedly helping Barber, a former Northwest Arkansas developer, commit bank fraud. Barber and Fisher, along with Brandon Raines and Jeff Horton, were originally indicted in January for several charges related to Barber's financial dealings during bankruptcy filings. But this new indictment reportedly replaces the earlier one, adding a conspiracy charge to existing charges levied against Fisher. The quartet is accused of overhauling properties to obtain loans from First Federal Bank, and when those funds came in, the four allegedly split the excess capital among themselves. If convicted, Fisher could serve up to 30 years in prison and pay a $1 million fine. Razorback Transit at the University of Arkansas has set a new record. On Tuesday, the 2 millionth passenger for the 2013 fiscal year, which is from July 2012 through the end of this month, boarded a Razorback Transit bus. It marks the first time that Razorback Transit has had more than 2 million riders in a single fiscal year, and monthly ridership totals have reportedly averaged 5% higher than in fiscal year 2012, a year in which the organization was 10,913 riders shy of the 2 million mark. According to a news release, Razorback Transit is on track to have served more than 31 million passengers between 1990 and the end of the current fiscal year. Tonight's weather forecast calls for mostly clear conditions with a low around 49 in northwest Arkansas and a low around 58 in the Arkansas River Valley. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the lower to mid 80s. And tomorrow night, there's a 20 to 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1 a.m. Expect partly to mostly cloudy conditions with a low in the lower to mid 60s. And this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Joining me now on the phone from Fort Smith is Michael Tilley. He is the editor and publisher of the City Wire, which covers business, politics, culture, and much more for the entire KUAF listening area. Hello.
Well, good morning.
Walmart is obviously the big story today and this week, and we'll hear more from Christina Thomas later in the show about the shareholders meeting, but the City Wire has been covering it throughout this week.
Yes, Walmart has brought just a few people to town.
Just a few, and
a few hotel rooms have been used. A few restaurants have been probably gone through their refrigerator a few times. But, yes, thousands of people in town for the Walmart Shareholders Week. One of the interesting things we heard Wednesday, Walmart is continuing to, and they've talked about this for some time, but it was interesting they gave it so much attention, that they're going to continue to source, try to do as much sourcing as they can. And by sourcing, we mean buying products from that are made in the U.S. Company execs already said that roughly two-thirds of what they get is from the U.S., but, that includes their produce and a lot of their grocery goods. So obviously, a lot of that has to come from the U.S. But part of this sourcing, though, has benefited two companies in the area directly, and they on purpose used that example, and one was, Bert Hanna's candle shop there in Fayetteville. He employs about 150 people, and, Michelle Gleckler with Walmart said their candle sales have risen from about $4 million a year to $30 million a year, and Bert Hanna does some private label candles for Walmart, so it's worked out for him. And then in Fort Smith, I know sometimes people in the Fort Smith region say that, you know, they don't keep up with Walmart because it doesn't do anything for them. Well, they couldn't be more wrong. There's a company, there's a chemical company here in Fort Smith, Peterson Chemical, that some of the products that are made for bedding products that are made for Walmart in the U.S. use Peterson Chemical technology. So, you know, if that sourcing continues, I think it's in everyone's best interest. If they're interested in seeing some kind of return of manufacturing numbers in the U.S., Walmart, being the world's largest retailer and the largest U.S. retailer, could have a big, could certainly help in that regard.
Was there any indication from Walmart, you know, what kind of spurred this initiative?
Well, I think, several things. I mean, just, you know, Walmart never shies away from just good old-fashioned public relations. So that's what you have some of this. And, you know, there's been in the last couple of years, there's been some thinking among business leaders that, you know, if we keep making things overseas, who are we going to sell stuff? You know, who's going to be able to afford to buy our stuff here? You know, if all the manufacturing jobs leave. So I think there's just an effort to try by the business community where it's cost efficient. And even when it's not, I mean, you know, Walmart said Wednesday that they know that some customers have said they're willing to pay just a little bit more for that Made in America tag. So I think it's public relations. I think it's an awareness of the economic benefit of trying to keep as much production in the U.S. as possible.
Another story you guys had on the City Wire this week was about Arkansas severance tax revenue is on a record pace.
Yes, it is, which is a surprise because
really?
The drilling activity. Well, drilling activity in Arkansas is really off the pace. I think the average, there are about 15 rigs in the entire Fayetteville Shale Play, which is that central and north part of Arkansas. A year ago, there were about 22 rigs, and about 5 years ago, there were 55 rigs in the area. So the production is down, but the price of natural gas has increased. It's up almost $2 in the past several months. And so what that reflects here in Arkansas is for the first four collection months of the year, severance tax collections, which is the tax off the natural gas that's sold, is $19.7 million, and that's well ahead of the $15.7 million from the same period in 2012, and it's 6% higher than in 2011. And in 2011, we had record collections of almost $59 million in 2011. And so Arkansas is on pace to beat that record. And that's important for several reasons. One, there are a lot of royalty owners that benefit from that also. It shows that there's more, not necessarily more gas being sold, but there's more income coming into the state for the gas that's sold. And also that some of those tax collections are used to support road and other infrastructure in some of the counties that had a lot of the drilling activity, had a lot of those heavy rigs coming in and out to drill for the gas. So it's not only does it help bring more tax money in, it brings more money in for royalty owners, and it supports that infrastructure in those drilling areas.
Another story that we've been following and the City Wire has been following has been the whole healthcare shift that's happening.
Yes, and we had an interesting, we wanted to kind of talk to some insurance experts to see what the insurance industry is doing to gear up. And without exception, everyone we talked to four different groups, four different people and companies, and as we know, there's just a clear sense of anxiety and frustration among these folks. And, you know, the anxiety is about, and frustration is fueled by the uncertainty. They just don't know all the details, and we're just, you know, 30 or 60 days from some key provisions kicking in. A gentleman named Dennis Jumper, he's the trainer guy. He is who the state of Arkansas has hired to train people who will then go out into the regions to try to educate business owners and insurance agents about how this is going to work. And he's even frustrated. And one of his quotes, I'll read it here, he says, every day is a new day. Nobody has the answers. If anyone thinks they do, they're a fool. And but he said they have enough of a fundamental outline of what it's going to look like. He's just training everybody to be prepared to go. But we've got the full story on the City Wire, obviously, and there are too many angles of it to try to probably explain here. But I would encourage your listeners to go check it out on the City Wire.
Sure. It sounds very much like a figure it out as we go kind of approach.
Well, It is, and it was a good primer for me, and I hope it's a good primer for your listeners, just to kind of set the stage for what some of the key issues are in terms of the insurance industry.
I look forward to reading that. Now, often when you and I talk, I feel like we talk about jobs leaving Fort Smith with, like, Whirlpool shutting down and things like that, but you actually have some news that there could be more jobs in Fort Smith?
Right. Yes, and it is nice to have a positive angle on that job. Gerber has a plant here. They make baby food and other products here in Fort Smith, and Gerber for many years has been very secretive about how many they employ and that type of thing, but they recently applied for some industrial revenue type bonds, $90 million in a total bond package for improvements at the Fort Smith plant. Not only is that good, I mean, any time that a company invests in a plant, it suggests that there's some security there that they're going to keep the plant operating. But Gerber also said once the facility is complete and up and running, the expansion, I should say, that it could add to it could add 90 jobs to the workforce. And the thing about Gerber is those are good-paying manufacturing jobs. So it's in a region that's really been hit, like you said, by the loss of Whirlpool and some other things. 90 is a good number, especially 90 manufacturing jobs. So we'll stay on top of that and watch as that develops.
All right, Michael. Well, thank you so much for checking in with me today, and I will check back with you next Friday.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of the City Wire, which covers business, politics, culture, and much more for the entire KUAF listening area. Thanks again, Michael.
All right. Talk to you later.
Fedrik Smetana Zmavlast and Richard Daniel Bohr's Concerto for Orchestra, two orchestral works full of bombast and enchantment. Hi, I'm Katie Henriksen, host of the KUAF Sunday Symphony, airing Sunday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Tune in this Sunday for Bombast and Enchantment from Smetana and Daniel Bohr. That's coming up Sunday night from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on KUAF Public Radio.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. This week, Northwest Arkansas residents have spotted international guests throughout the region because of various Walmart shareholders events. Today was the Walmart shareholders meeting, and Ozarks at Large's Christina Thomas and Timothy Dennis attended the event. And joining me now on the phone is Christina Thomas. Hello.
Hello, Antoinette.
Now, you've
thanks
been
for calling in. We've found a quiet hallway.
Good. I know you've been there since bright and early, and you've been taking notes. And one of the numbers that you reported to me before we started recording was Walmart reported to nearly $500 billion in sales this past year.
Yes, that is a number that the chief financial officer, Charles Hawley, gave. Yes, $406 billion in sales in the fiscal year 2013, which is a lot of money.
And
that number represents 12 billion transactions globally.
Now, can you give me an idea of what things were like this morning? I know you guys checked in sometime in the 6 o'clock hour, and festivities officially kicked off around 7 this morning.
Yes, we were dropped off about 6:30 this morning, and neither Tim nor I had ever been here before, and so it was we weren't really sure what to expect, and there were long lines of associates outside of Bud Walton Arena, and we had a little bit of trouble finding the media entrance. We kind of wandered around almost the entire arena outside before we found it, but we found it and we made it in. And yes, festivities started about 7 o'clock this morning. They're kept to their schedule pretty tightly, I'd say.
What's the atmosphere like? I know I was watching the stream, and there's a lot of associates from around the world and their different brightly colored shirts, typically matching the colors of the flag of their home country. And the ones that I saw this morning seemed very, very cheerful.
Yes. I mean, people are definitely excited to be here. Colors represented in the crowd, definitely a rainbow of colors, bright oranges, yellows, grays. grays, blues, various colors of blue, green, red, all colors of the rainbow you can imagine. People are very excited to be here, and they've been tweeting also the hashtag WMT shares, and those tweets were being shared on a scrolling screen underneath the upper level of Bud Walton Arena, so you could see, you know, you could see the excitement, you could see what people were saying about this experience.
Now, was there sort of a presentation of the different countries with their flags? About how many countries are there, do you know?
The people here, the associates here, represent 2.2 million people from 27 different countries. So there are Walmarts in 27 countries around the world. And they did do a parade of flags. They had people dressed up. They had, you know, Japan was represented with people in kimonos. Mexico was represented with big paper mache puppets that came out into the crowd. And I mean, these puppets were huge, towered over the crowd.
Now, once the thing started going, I know Rob Walton made an appearance, and then the MC for the host for the event was announced as well.
Yes, Hugh Jackman came out and warmed up the crowd, and he started by saying how early Walmart got things started. And I know from friends that work at Walmart that they do begin the day very early, and so Hugh Jackman kind of made joke of that and sang his own version of "Oh, What a Beautiful Morning" to the crowd, and that was kind of fun, and people really enjoyed that.
And then Rob Walton came back out, and business kind of officially began, and there were different items the associates were voting on?
Yes. Shareholders voted on 8 different items. The first 4 were standard business. Rob Walton listed those. It was just voting for new members, voting for Ernst & Young to represent them as their accountant, which they do already, and they have since 1970, but it's still an item that they vote on. They also voted on advisory. It's just an advisory vote on pay for the top executives. And the 4th item of standard business was a vote to improve employee incentive plans. Next were shareholder proposed issues, and they actually had associates and various people come out and talk about these shareholder proposed issues, and there were 4 of them as well.
One of the associates that spoke was from Bangladesh, is that correct?
Yes, she came out and gave the first proposed issue by shareholders, and it was that shareholders can call meetings on their own. It doesn't have to be called on by the board. And she brought that up, but then she immediately started talking about the recent factory fire in Bangladesh. And she immediately got down to issue with Walmart has been criticized of late for not signing an accord that other companies have come on board to sign.
Now Walmart officials have stated the repairs needed to make our factory safe are too expensive, but the cost would be just 2/10 of 1% of Walmart's profit last year and just 1% of the dividends paid out last year to the Walton family heirs. I would like to direct to the chairman of the board, Mr. Rob Walton. I'm sure you know that this fixing buildings would cause just a tiny friction of your family world. So I implore to you, please help us.
And after that, you were given a lot of different numbers for the company?
Yes, yes. Charles Hawley, the chief financial officer, came out, and we mentioned him earlier, but he really talked about the numbers for shares. As this is the shareholders meeting. And he mentioned that the price per share increased 17% from last year. And at closing yesterday, when the stock market closed yesterday, it was $75.63 per share. And that 17% increase represents $30 billion of value earned last year. And as he pointed out, that is more than their immediate competitors in the U.S. market, Kroger and Dollar General.
Wow, some very interesting numbers there. Another big topic, e-commerce. That was a big topic discussed.
Yes, e-commerce was talked about all morning long, and it definitely got a lot of cheers as well. The e-commerce team was, as we were looking at the stage, to the left of the stage, and they let out a lot of cheers anytime somebody said e-commerce. Walmart.com is one of the largest online stores in the United States. And in the UK, Asda Walmart is number two for online stores. And the CEO of global e-commerce, Neil Ashe, came out and he talked about how innovation plays a really big role in global e-commerce for Walmart. He mentioned that to some, innovation is invention. But to Walmart, innovation means doing things better.
Sometimes innovation is about invention. But more often, it just means doing things better. Our logistics team shaving miles off our truck routes, that's innovation. Our store teams finding new ways to keep produce fresh, that's innovation. An associate figuring out how to stock a mod more efficiently, that's innovation.
The CEO of Global E-commerce closed by saying that they will be a better Walmart when they win at e-commerce.
And part of under the Walmart umbrella is Sam's Club, and they got to recognize a special anniversary this year.
Yes, Sam's Club celebrated its 30th anniversary this year. The CEO of Sam's Club, Roz Brewer, was representing Sam's Club. And there were quite a few associates from Sam's Club here this year. They were all wearing gray T-shirts, which said all in. They also had on some glasses that the lenses said all in. And Tim and I have been trying to figure out exactly what that means. But when the CEO, Roz Brewer, was talking, she talked a lot about Sam's Club commitment to the community. And so we kind of thought that maybe the all in represented, you know, they're putting it all in. They're putting it all into the community.
We'll have to follow up on that and find out what that is exactly. And
and
finally, a big part of this event is there's a lot of show involved in it, and so there's entertainment.
Yes, lots of entertainment. As we mentioned earlier, Hugh Jackman was sort of the master of ceremonies here today. Musical entertainment. We had Prince Royce, who is a Latin American singer, I believe. I had never heard of him before, but he sang Stand By Me, and you know, that's a classic song that anybody can kind of enjoy. We also had John Legend, who I know, Antoinette, you reported on him. He made an appearance in Northwest Arkansas just about 6 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. He was part of the Distinguished Lecture Series on the University of Arkansas campus. So interesting to have him back in the region so soon.
Right. He must have enjoyed his first visit.
Must have.
Yeah. And then also the UK was represented again with Jermaine Douglas, who is a finalist in the UK version of X Factor.
Mm.
We also saw Kelly Clarkson.
The first American Idol winner.
Yes.
And I understand there was another movie star and then another American Idol contestant as well.
Yes. We saw Tom Cruise, who for me will always be Maverick on Top Gun. But he also plays a big role in the global community, and he came out and complimented the culture of Walmart and really complimented them as a global leader in problem solving.
Well, it sounds like it's been a busy morning for you and for Tim as well, who's helping out behind the scenes there. So thanks to both of you for your work, and we'll see you guys back later today in the studio.
Okay, yeah, it looks like things are starting to wind down here. Thank you so much, Antoinette.
Thanks. It is Friday, June 7th, 2013, and this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda, and joining me now is Becca Martin Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
How are you guys holding up?
Very well, thank you.
It's going okay.
It's going well.
And the Iceland thing is also going okay,
from
I see on Facebook.
From what I understand, Kyle is enjoying Iceland immensely.
You know, I would say that's weird, but I'm fixing to go to a camping event where people put on armor and hit each other with sticks. So
to each their own.
I have no room. However, if you're in town this weekend and you know Ed McClure.
I do.
You really must go to the Rogers Little Theater production of Lombardi.
Oh, that's right. It opens this weekend, correct?
It does, and Ed is playing the lead. We all know he can play comedy because we've all seen him in Greater Tuna, and he's hysterical.
I've actually never seen him perform.
Oh. Well, in Greater Tuna, he plays 6 or 7 or 8 roles that are very different. Quick change, very little change
sure.
of costume. This is a very serious, dramatic role. And I got a text from him 2 weeks ago that said, this is hard.
Oh, well, it's probably much different. He's, I think, more used to being on perhaps the director's side.
I think so. But anymore. Brenda Nemec, who's directing this production, says that all the things that embody Lombardi, perseverance, hard work, sacrifice, dedication, all apply to Ed, too, and that it's going to be a great show.
Well,
and some of our Gridiron colleagues are in it.
I know Justin Stewart is in it.
I don't know who else is, but I know that you should go. It's 8 o'clock today and tomorrow, 2 o'clock Sunday, and again next weekend. And tickets start at $10 at Rogers Little Theater. Also this weekend, it's part of the Bentonville Art and Culinary Festival.
Yes, going on all throughout the month of June. Plenty of things.
It's an art walk
mm-hmm.
with wonderful artists like Ruan Ewing, who combines beading with the fact that she's a blacksmith and bends metal.
Beading, like sewing beads onto
yes.
clothing?
Well, making jewelry out of beads.
Oh.
Sometimes seed beads, the tiny little ones.
Okay.
Sometimes things that she finds on the beach.
So,
she travels to Central and South America.
So what kind of art does she make? Does she make jewelry?
She makes jewelry.
Okay. So out of the beads and the metal...
Yes.
Working. Okay.
Because she found out that she could bend steel wire the same way she could bend steel.
Oh.
And they're gorgeous.
Okay.
Pearls and found sea glass and just beautiful. And if that's not for you,
uh-huh.
John Two Hawks is going to be debuting his new CD, Beautiful World, this weekend.
That's right.
At the Art Walk. And if you've never seen John perform or talked to John... He is one of the most spiritual people that I think I've ever met, but he's taken off on this new direction using a lot more strings and keys and a lot more vocals in addition to the Native American flute.
Yes, I believe he talked to Kyle about it a while back and we got to hear some snippets from the CD.
So here's a great quote. Today's thought. Beauty is not just about the sun shining, but about the shadow the sun casts.
Hmm.
So, he will be doing a meet and greet from 2 to 4 on Saturday at the Norberta Philbrook Gallery and will perform at Majesty Republic from 6 to 8 p.m. Saturday. The art walk is from 4 to 9 p.m. today and 9 to 2 on Saturday on the Bentonville Square. Of course, this weekend is also Thunder on the Mountain.
It is. Started Thursday.
Kevin Kinder, our music writer, is not camping this time.
He's not. We had quite the adventure with Wakarusa last weekend.
I understand there were flying canopies and flying chairs, and he has a great photo in today's What's Up of some poor guy who was trying to walk in the mud, just gave up, fell down, and laid there. People were afraid he was dead.
He was just laying there when we came upon him. I don't know that he actually fell. I think he may have just laid down and embraced
given up.
It. I think he just embraced the situation.
I think that's the same word Kevin used. He embraced the situation. Mm-hmm. They promised to have the festival grounds under control, something done about the mud. And if mm-hmm. you want to see country headliners like Luke Bryan and Toby Keith and Easton Corbin and Big and Rich, Gretchen Wilson, you should get on out to Mulberry Mountain. The shows are ongoing as we speak, and tickets for 3 days are around $150, 2 days around $140, thunderonthemountain.com. Also this weekend, Eureka Springs has a new second weekend event series
mm-hmm.
that starts with a performance on Saturday night by Brewer and Shipley.
Okay.
Out of nowhere. Who knew? 5 to 7 p.m. at Basin Spring Park, and it is free. If you don't know them, their biggest hit was One Toke Over the Line in 1970.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The Spin Doctors are performing Saturday.
Huh.
Love the Spin Doctors. They sold more than 5 million copies of Pocket Full of Kryptonite, which came out in 1991, and have a new blues album called If the River Was Whiskey. They perform at 10:30 Saturday night at Cherokee Casino in West Siloam Springs. And I'd like to tell you I'll be back on Sunday, but I really won't, but I'll seem to be.
Okay, and we will explain that better on Sunday. Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. The Mountain Street Stage June Music Series at the Fayetteville Public Library continues this Sunday afternoon with a free performance by Leah and the Mojo Doctors. Leah Spears and her band have built a tremendous relationship with audiences over the past several years, and fittingly, the current lineup has a history associated with two streets in the region synonymous with live music, Dixon Street in Fayetteville and Garrison Avenue in Fort Smith. Recently, Leah came to the Furman Garner Performance Studio with Jody Andrews, Eben Jones, and Matt Puring to talk about their music and play as well. Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums spoke to the band, and during their conversation, he commented that all of the band members seem like playing music is something that they love to do. He asked them if performing is something that they feel like they have to do, as opposed to something that they just get paid to do.
You know, it's great side money when we do get paid, but more than anything, I always say that our live shows are what I absolutely adore to do. It surpasses any euphoric anything that I've ever experienced. And great band, just a great band, and it sets it up for absolute success almost every single time.
You have great rapport with your audiences, too. I mean, I guess I've only seen you with audiences that know you, so they know what's coming. But there is a genuine bond, it seems like.
Well, we've been doing it for so long in this area that people that know us and love us, I always say that they're repeat offenders because they continue to come back. We do. We've got a great fan base, loyal friends, a lot of people that I call our tribe affectionately, and they keep coming back, and they keep bringing and inviting new friends and bringing their families, and it just continues to grow and keeps evolving that way. So we're very blessed in that way.
Lee, it's safe to say you're from this area. Grew up in Tahlequah. Mm-hmm. Tahlequah and Fayetteville, they're of the same area.
Mm-hmm.
Jody, you came here from Jersey, right?
You have a good memory.
Yeah, well.
But, I mean, I came here when I was 13, so Arkansas is definitely my home for sure.
Yeah, I think I hear more Arkansas in your voice than Jersey.
Yeah, that was on purpose.
Ah.
She's not fired
when
up
you
right
come,
now.
When you come here when you're 13 and you move to Mansfield, Arkansas, you drop the accent as quick as you can. And so.
So seriously, when you came to Mansfield, which was probably what population?
Well, where we lived, my father, we used to joke that my father found, my father's an Ozark American and my mother's from Manhattan, Puerto Rican, New Yorker. And so my father was in the Navy and met her. So when he moved us back, we used to joke that he found our house with a magnifying glass and a map. So it was literally called Possum Holler, Arkansas. So a big shout out to South Sebastian County. It was so remote, it had a Mansfield school district, a Greenwood telephone number, and a Boonville address.
Wow.
Nice.
When you came here, full confession, I've known Jody since she was maybe 18 or 19, because we were in college together. And even when I knew you then, you were wanting a guitar. I can't remember if you actually owned one yet. Have you been wanting to play guitar as long as you can remember?
Well, my father was a guitar player, and we had a little family band when I was a kid, and I grew up, my first instrument was a little Worley 901A keyboard, and then when I left Fayetteville at 19, I bought my first electric guitar. It was a little Japanese Candy Apple Red Strat, and started taking guitar lessons, and then just kind of played guitar and never really picked the keyboard up again.
All right, so we have Tahlequah, we have Southern Sebastian County via New Jersey. Matt?
Well, I've lived in Fayetteville for probably about 13 years, and I lived in Conway before that, and originally, I guess I'm from Minnesota, so.
You guess.
Yeah. That's what he's been told.
Yeah. No, but I lived there until I was 8, and I moved to Conway in, like, third grade or something like that. So I was kind of the same sort of culture shock that Jody had in coming down here with a northern accent and a Took a few years before I got rid of that, so I always heard about it.
You said the word T-E-N differently than your classmates, I bet.
Among other things,
yeah. Now, that's a great-looking guitar on your lap.
Oh, wow.
53 Martin, you told me?
No, it's a Gibson.
Gibson, yeah. Goodness, yes. 53 Gibson, you tell me.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it's just something I found in a pawn shop. They didn't really know what it was. They handed me their guitar price guide, and it wasn't in there. So I was like, well, I'll buy that. I'll figure out what it is later. So, but it's kind of it's got some miles on it. It's had some strange things done to it, I guess. So, but
wouldn't
it's
you love
together.
Wouldn't you love to know the history?
Yeah, no. It looks like it's been through some stuff. So,
did you play it before you picked it up, or did you just buy it sight?
Well, I played it a little bit, but it had been strung left-handed, so I kind of picked it up and made sure it was like, okay, mostly works. It's close enough, so it'll fix most things. So,
well, we're going to start a new legend that it was actually apparently once Jimi Hendrix guitar. It was the Hendrix acoustic, and then somehow it made its way to a pawn shop.
Yeah, it's old enough.
Let's tell people you bought it in Seattle, and we'll just. Eben's apparently not going to talk, but if he did talk, where did you hail from?
Well, I've got a gene pool that goes back to the 1840s right here. I was born in Georgia and educated in Wisconsin, but every summer, since I can remember, Dixon Street, my grandmother lived up across from Collier's Drugstore, so I've been here forever. I moved back permanently in 74. So.
Oh, well, these days, that's a native right there.
Yeah, I'm old school, old school.
You remember the swinging door?
I played my first gig on Dixon Street on the swinging door.
Tell me about that.
Well, I was playing guitar with a friend of mine, Scott Dooley, who was dating my sister, and he was playing guitar for Lloyd Marley and the Mudflaps. We went down to see him, and the bass player was so drunk he couldn't play. So Scotty just said, get up here. So, you know, that's what I did.
You guys seem to be, it was inevitable that you would be playing music.
Yeah.
And you seem to have a great rapport with each other.
These are some of my favorite people. We spend a lot of time together, so we're lucky in that way. Eben's been playing guitar for me since I was 19 years old. And just off and on, we took a couple of years of hiatus there where he actually thought that I was mad at him and found me on Facebook and said, what did I ever do to you? Matt actually came on to the Mojo Doctors through our friend Bob Coleman, and is one of the best decisions that Bob ever made, in my opinion, Bob. And Jody, we happened upon each other in Fort Smith down on Garrison Avenue for a Women Rock the Fort event that our friend Pam Camp puts together. And Landry's was hosting that, and I always say this is the funniest story about Jody, and it's very endearing to me, and it sums her personality up. She walked up to me and she said, "Are you Leah Spears?" I said, "Yes." She said, "We're going to be great friends." And I thought, "Oh my word." And she was right. She was diligent and she meant that. And before she was even part of the band, she would come and watch the Mojo Doctors and come to our NAMA award shows, and she just really, she just really meant what she said. She loved me and supported me, and I finally decided that it would be great energy to add another woman. I'd only ever been the only woman in the Mojo Doctors, and probably, definitely one of the top three best decisions I've ever made as far as band management. So, yeah.
When you have the people that come to you that you call repeat offenders, and maybe this is, I'm not a musician, so I don't know if this is a kind of conversation you'd ever have as band members. So forgive me if it's a silly question. But do you ever talk about how you still connect with the audience, still give them what they expect, but you don't seem just the same every time?
That's always a little tricky, just because, you know, one of the reasons why I love John Prine so much is that early on he says that when he first started playing gigs, he was under the impression that every single gig that he played, he had to bring all new material, and he would wear himself out writing. Fortunately, we know that that's not necessarily the truth now. And so we do stay extremely busy, fortunately. It's a great problem to have. So it's hard to find rehearsal time. We do all have full-time jobs, and incorporating that newness has always been quite honestly, a struggle, just time management and a lot of energy to put into that. You know, we, as far as keeping that newness and keeping people engaged, it's really just devoting and making sure that that live show, that you are present, that you are not distracted, that you are there, you know, that you connect, you make eye contact, that you connect with each other, that you have this energy that you're exchanging on stage. And quite honestly, sometimes we get to a gig and we're exhausted. You know, we're worn out from the week. Mm-hmm. And we have to make eye contact. And they probably think I'm so bossy sometimes, but I'll turn around and I'll say, you know, guys, I need you. I need you. And everybody's like, oh, wait, hang on. We're here. We got to be present. And inevitably, the energy of what we exchange just, it surpasses us, fortunately. And usually takes over, and we are able to gratefully and graciously give really good shows. And, you know, the newness on the old material, we switch it up. We switch up tempo sometimes, and you'll see me act like a crazy woman sometimes, just dancing like a fool and, you know, putting Jody's energy into it and letting Matt take his amazing solos and just bringing the audience and us into a stratosphere of just absolute bliss. And Eben just keeps us plugged in. So it can be challenging. It really can, just because of fatigue or maybe boredom with the material on our part. But our job, when we do this, our job is to make sure that we give the audience something, because what we give them, it's reciprocated. And it always goes full circle.
Leah Spears, Jody Andrews, Eben Jones, and Matt Perrine are members of Leah and the Mojo Doctors. Not present for the visit was drummer Bill Hines. They'll play Sunday afternoon at 2 at the Fayetteville Public Library as part of the Mountain Street Stage June Music Series. During their visit to the studio, they played the song Start All Over.
Like the more I try, the more you push away. But baby, please give me a sign, something to give me peace of mind. I never thought I'd stop. Start all over again.
Start all over again.
You say we should take our time. Maybe try a little space. Lord knows I would surely die a minute without your grace. Baby, please give me a sign, something to give me peace of mind. I never thought I'd start all over again.
Start all over again.
Oh, start all over again.
Start all over again.
Oh, start all over.
Start all over again.
can't keep on. I used to make you laugh, but now I only cause you harm. But I'll try, oh, till you turn me away.
That was Leah and the Mojo Doctors performing Start All Over. They recently talked to Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. They'll perform Sunday afternoon at 2 at the Fayetteville Public Library, and the concert is free to the public. More information is available at faylib.org. For more information on the band, visit facebook.com/mojodoctors.
Say you stumble on a big pile of trash.
The mother load.
The biggest pile you've ever seen. And you think, what would happen if I dug up all that trash, cleaned off the mud?
With the help of a brush.
What would I find?
A letter.
A letter.
Lost sayings of Jesus.
A cow.
The number of the beast.
Genghis Khan.
Big, bold, muscular men.
This week on Radiolab, we take dumpster diving to a whole new level.
Radiolab, tomorrow at noon here on KUAF 91.3 FM. Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. The Fayetteville Underground will feature Women Take Flight during the month of June. This national juried art exhibition is in recognition of the 2013 Air Race Classic, which ends in Fayetteville on June 21st. The opening reception begins at 5 p.m. during First Thursday. More information is available at fayettevilleunderground.com. The Bentonville Art Walk, part of the month-long Bentonville Art and Culinary Festival, celebrates the visual arts today and tomorrow on the downtown square. It includes more than 30 visual artists from around the country and free live jazz music. DowntownBentonville.org or 254-0254 for more information. A listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas, this is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Bentonville. A couple of quick notes before I leave you today. The Arkansas Music Pavilion has announced an addition to its summer lineup. 3 Days Grace and Hinder will perform Sunday, August 18th at the Washington County Fairgrounds. Tickets went on sale earlier today, so they're on sale now, and they range from $32 to $37. You can find out some more information at amptickets.com. Also, today is National Donut Day. There are some participating donut companies that are celebrating the day. Locally, you can go to the Krispy Kreme Donuts in Bentonville and receive a free donut. And you can find out some more information by visiting National Donut Day 2013. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Thanks so much for listening. You can tune into KUAF Sunday morning at 9 for Weekend Ozarks at Large. I will be back along with my co-host Christina Thomas, and then I will be back solo on the daily weekday edition of Ozarks at Large on Monday. Thanks again for listening, and have a fantastic weekend.